Lord's doing a lot this morning. Typically, I preach from, I've been preaching from the Gospels. Today, I wanted to look at 1 Peter 3, and we're going to, in a few minutes, look at a short summary video of 1 Peter, just because it kind of helps us and receiving the whole thing. But I want to just go there immediately and read from 1 Peter 3, and I'm going to pick up on verse 8, and I'm going to read through verse 22. So you can tell that there's a lot more being said because the first verse here, verse 8, says finally. I'm starting on finally. But I think if we could just have some context right now for ourselves, every affirmation we've been hearing this morning about that we're children of God, about our Father cares for us, that we can stand because of the blood of Jesus, that our identity isn't just our record of our wrongs and our rights, but we are a people of God with a new identity. That's really what Peter's getting at. And so, and that kind of rounding up of our identity to look up and see what we're to do out of that, he says, finally, all of you, and he's calling to them as a pastor, as a father, as a mother, someone calling out to those who he loves, to a community he cares for, and he says, have unity of spirit, sympathy. I just don't want to rush past those words. Sympathy means a lot when you don't have it from anybody. Unity. When we don't have unity, that really hurts. We don't know what to do with ourselves when we're in a family environment. There's no unity. It's disruptive. Have unity because it's possible. Sympathy. Love for one another. A tender heart. A humble mind. Don't repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse. But on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It's for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. So you see the cycle that he's calling them into. Have unity, have sympathy, love each other, be tender to one another, be humble in your own mind. Don't repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse. But on the contrary, give blessings where you've been abused. Give blessings where you've been mistreated, where you haven't felt sympathy. Give blessings where you haven't been loved. Give blessings where you haven't felt unity. Because it's for this I'm calling you, that you might inherit the blessing. So much of our lives, we're dependent on others to give us what belongs to us. And the Lord says it's your inheritance that you've been called. It's an inheritance. It belongs to you. Inheritance belongs to you. But if we look at this in the reverse, we don't receive our inheritance if we just repay evil for evil. Or if we repay abuses with abuses. Or if we get hard-hearted and we lose our sympathy for one another. And we lose our humility in our hearts and our minds. Peter just goes right after what we're all hoping for. In verse 10, he says, for those who desire life and desire to see good days, I think that's everybody here, let them keep their tongues from evil and their lips from speaking deceit. Let them keep their tongues from evil and their lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn away from evil and do good. Let them seek peace. Pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. He's not, think, hear it this way. If you're doing harm to someone, the Lord is coming after you to stop that harm. He doesn't want us to do harm to one another. And like a good mother or a good father, hey, what are you doing? What are you up to, Johnny? He's good this way. I want to reference something I read a few weeks ago, and it seems it hasn't been a series. You know, when we're reading the lectionary, it's not really a series, but it is a series. Does anybody like pick up the themes that we go through in these seasons? I know, Chris, we were talking about some of the themes that she's been hearing and I've been hearing. And a few weeks ago, I read this, and it's about woundedness. And I think what we're hearing from Peter, he's not just speaking to people who are wanting good lives. He's speaking to people who've been wounded. He's speaking to people who need to be reminded of the higher calling in Christ Jesus, which isn't just being reactionary. And I read this a few weeks ago. It's a quote from Eugene Peterson, and it's about being wounded. And I want to read it again because it really just conveys an opportunity in being wounded that I think we heard in the scriptures today. When Sue, you know, emphatically read Psalms and said, I'm feeling it this morning. You're talking about enemies, like the Lord allows us sometimes to have enemies like that do us wrong. That doesn't sound right, does it? If we just look at the cross, that is right. Like things happen to us sometimes that we didn't deserve, we didn't ask for. There's an availability of what happens to our hearts when we submit to God that transforms the situation from being just a cause and effect event to like a reaping and sowing event of eternal things, things that go deeper than just how I felt or how I was mistreated. And it goes into something that can actually be life for someone else, life for the person that didn't have life, that took wrong against you. So here's this quote, and I found myself in this quote. Maybe some of you found yourself in it. Someone asked me to read it to them or to copy it. This wound of the self that calls for help, this self that's closed in upon itself and now is open just a little bit, it's an opening through which we can listen to and answer God. For the wound is more than a wound. Hear me. The wound is more than a wound. Am I just out in left field right now, or is anybody with me? The wound's more than a wound. Any wounded people here? I mean, you could just put your head down and put your hand up. We're wounded. But the wound is more than a wound, Dreamhouse Church. It's more than a wound. It's access to the outside. It's access to God. It's access to others. Why in the world would Jesus die on a cross if it wasn't to gain something? He dies on the cross for access to us in our woundedness. God allows himself to be wounded to a point of death so that he could enter in with us. The wound is access. But when we're wounded, and there's no blame being given here. The reaction of wound is to close up, right? Defensive. I'm learning karate. And I'm taking names next time you try to wound me, right? But Brother Eugene Peterson, in his own searching of his own heart, came to this realization that the wound of the self that's calling for help, the self, it's closed in on itself, the self closed in on itself, it's now open because of the wound just a little bit. And he says it's an opening through which we can listen to and answer God, for the wound's more than a wound. It's access to the outside. It's access to God. It's access to others. And I just want to point out, because I didn't do it last time, like Jesus in his woundedness gains access to us. Before, he's God. He's Yahweh. He's mysterious. He speaks in clouds and thunder and lightning. But then Jesus takes on woundedness the ability to even be hurt, the ability to be even die. He's needy. He needs breath. He needs food just like we do. And he comes into this place. Why? Because he wants access to us. He wants to be in our lives. He wants to feel what we feel, not just for just empathy at large, but for true communion, for union, for being one together. And the quote goes on. He says, the wound must not be bandaged. Don't bandage it over as fast as possible. Not that it shouldn't be bandaged. I ended too soon. Don't bandage over it as fast as possible. When we're wounded, what we want to do is we want to take the keys, we want to run to the car, we want to go, we want to change addresses, we want to cut you out, we want to move on. Right? We want to build a privacy fence. We want to wear 7 layers of clothes, whatever it is. Give me a contact helmet, mouthpiece. I'm getting tougher. I'm going to get tougher. The more wounded I get, the more tougher I get. But I mean, if I'm thinking about that and I'm thinking about the cross, that's not what Jesus did. Now don't mishear me. What Jesus did, killed him. So this isn't like some blithe, oh, just let's be wounded and let's just say it's access. It hurts. And Brother Eugene, I think this really is profound. He says it must not be bandaged over as fast as possible because it's there. The wound is there to be a listening post, a chance to exit the small confines of our self-defined world. And it's accessed for us to enter the spaciousness of a God-defined world. Forgiveness, on my scale, is too small. Healing, on my scale, is too small. Discernment of spirits and empathy and sympathy, from my efforts, it's too small. I'm going to let every one of you down in those categories, if not for Jesus. Right? That's like our best hope for being brothers and sisters in Christ together is our access to God's heart and belonging to him. And from that place, we can be more than just ourselves by ourselves. The confines of a self-defined world. Do you want to stay there? I don't. But it's scary. It's really scary. I don't even know what to do sometimes outside of my own confines. I imagine it's the same for all of us. And God's calling us. Like this quote, when I read it, it's a listening post. It's a chance to enter the spaciousness of a God-defined world. The world, in the echo of Jesus' death, it's been turned upside down. There's still darkness. There's still some things that aren't right. There's still some powers. I was reminded this week that in Matthew, Jesus says, after the disciples come back and they were casting out demons in his name and they were healing the sick, and he says to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning out of the sky. And I was being drawn to, he wasn't saying, when you did that, he fell. He's like, no, I saw him fall as it's a past event. And Jesus was saying, basically, he doesn't have authority. The devil doesn't have authority. This Satan, which means the accuser, doesn't have authority. And when you were out there, you were working with the right heading. You have authority. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking how often and how easily we re-empower the devil with our imagination. We just go, well, the world's getting worse, and the devil's on the throne. We don't say that, but we think he is. We think there's more authority in darkness than there is in the light. And I'm here to say it's not true. And we don't believe the words of Jesus when we're saying the world is more dark than it is light, because there's an authority there that he's shaking it from the foundations of the world. And he does that not through the small confines of Jesus Christ from Galilee, but from the spaciousness of Abba, Father God has sent his son into the world to save us all from the power of sin and death. So this, me talking about wounds and talking about not bandaging over, it's not like just submit to suffering and it's going to be okay. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's this invitation that God's calling us into, and it's relief from the small confines of what we think is going to happen to us and what we're limited to by the world around us and those that hurt us. And he's inviting us into a bigger place. And it's what we're hearing from Peter. He's saying it's unity of spirit. It's sympathy. It's love for one another. It's a tender heart. It's a humble mind. It's not repaying evil for evil. It's not repaying abuse for abuse. On the contrary, it's repaying with blessing. And it's for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. If I had my way with this scripture in the small confines headspace, I'd be like, can you make it so I don't have to be in unity with anybody, God? Please? Because they're all crazy. And they're stupid, so I don't need sympathy anymore, right? Because all their choices are dumb. Fix that. Love for one another. Well, we'll talk about that later. A tender heart? That's for babies. Humble mind? No, Lord. You want us always to be so confident. I'm just wrestling with this week. Those who desire life, Peter says, those who desire to see good days, let them keep their tongues from evil and their lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn away from evil and do good. Let them seek peace and pursue it. Do you hear all the wounds in here? All the wounds? Has anyone in here had evil spoken about you? Has anyone in here been lied about or lied to? Has anybody lied to you? Has anyone brought evil into your life? Has anyone brought trouble? We've got an answer to right where we are today. What the Lord is offering us today, it's an answer. And it's not the small confines of a self-defined world with a Christian stamp. It's God's spaciousness. And God's spaciousness is the same spaciousness that would say to us, be strong and courageous. For even though you feel like you're in the valley of the shadow of death, you shall fear no evil. Put your hand on your heart. Come on, or your mind. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death right now, I'll fear no evil. The valley of the shadow of death is like, it's all those things that say, I don't have enough. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough space. I don't have enough me. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough years left, God. I don't have. That's the voice that wants to make us shut down and callous over. But if you're old and you've got 10 years left, it's a wound that's given you access. It's a wound that gives you God's spacious possibilities. Can you hear me? If you've got limited resources, guess what? That gives you a key into God's spaciousness. These people that we hear these examples from, it's not, well, then the Americans came and saved us. That's not what Krista was reading about. She's reading about people who, in their woundedness, are giving the body of Christ access. And in that access, they're hearing each other's needs, but they're also laying their needs before the community, and they're being met. That's exactly how the early church started. That's how it's continued. And right now, probably one of the biggest limitations we face is that we're all kind of siloed away and live separate. We live separate. And when we live separate, it takes extra effort to let other people know our needs. Because we don't see each other, how needy we really are. And you know what? Half the time, I don't want you to know how needy I am. And the other times, I just want you to guess. Because I need someone to know. Maybe we won't show the First Peter video. The summary of Peter, First Peter, is these were Gentiles that were living in a pagan culture, living in the culture of Rome, and they became Christians. And suddenly their community doesn't like that. And they're being persecuted for doing good. And they're wondering, what's wrong with this picture, God? I'm trusting you, the King. Peace, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness. That's what you have for me. So why am I getting bitterness and gall and rage and condemnation and all that stuff? Where are you, God? And Peter's letter, he goes right into their houses in chapter 5. Chapter 2 and 3. He goes right into their houses. Houses that have slaves. Houses that women are being even treated like slaves. Houses where husbands are not treating their wives well. Families that are in disrepair. He's speaking right into this, and he's challenging them with our true identity in God, which isn't people of royal right, royal access. The prosperity gospel teaches us that no matter what happens, we always get more. That's not how it went with Jesus. He got less. And the less he got, the more he got. But the less he got wasn't a categorical less. It was the less of the world's reality. As he emptied himself, the Bible says he emptied himself. That's when he gained access to walking as the Father's Son. It wasn't through, I'm the Christ. I'm not recommending any of you watch it, but Asher and I watched a few minutes of the life of Brian this past week. It's very, very tongue-in-cheek. It's a Monty Python movie, and the three wise men show up to the birth of Jesus, and they come into, they don't know it yet, the wrong room. And it's, what's your baby's name? Oh, he's Brian. Hail Brian, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. No, Jesus wasn't just being born to be treated as royalty. He was born into this world, into a fragile state, so that he could be in communion with us. It blows my mind. It's so opposite. But it's the way to life. And I feel like we just need to be encouraged today to hear that what he's calling you into and what you're going through. Some of us are just, we don't feel like it's a calling. It's like, I'm just going through this thing. I hope this isn't a calling. I just want to walk through it. Yes. What you're going through, I feel like the Lord wants you to hear these words today. He says, verse 13, who will harm you if you're eager to do what's good? But even if you do suffer for what is right, you're blessed. 1 Peter 3, verse 14, don't fear what they fear. I think I need to say it again. Don't fear what the world fears. This is the end. Oh, stop it. Don't fear what they fear, Peter's saying. Don't be intimidated by power. But in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Let him be Lord in your heart. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that's in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. No Bible thumping. You say that tongue in cheek, but that's right where we go, isn't it? It's right where we go. You can't use gentleness, can you, Lord? You can't use humbleness. That surely doesn't make sense. You're wrestling with this thing when you feel powerless. If you're in the building today and you feel powerless, I want to encourage you. You're wrestling with humility. And you're closer than you think. Because the Lord has it for you to share with him. Humility of heart. Jump with me down to verse 18. No, 17. We should hear 17. For it's better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. There's that access thing. He suffers not just for suffering's sake. This isn't about glorifying suffering. It's about having access to us, having access to those who suffer. In order to bring you to God, he was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Jesus. And we could go deep in theology here. I want to go to verse 22. It said he's gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. So what's subject to God? What's subject to Jesus? Angels, authorities, powers, this all things in heaven and on earth are subject to him. And he's inviting us not to be Bible thumpers. Brother Strauss pointed out, he's inviting us into gentleness. He's inviting us into humility. I'm seeing a couple of you appropriately shake your heads. Yes, that's right. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Come on. Have you ever rooted for a team for so long that it hurt every time they lost? And then you seem like you feel like they're about to win. And then the umpire, throws the flag and. It gets stolen from you again. I'm a Detroit Lions fan. I know these things intimately. When you feel like your team's going up and then, your star quarterback tears a knee or, maybe it's not sports reference. It's, there's a champion of a certain cause and then they die. It was a civil rights movement. That was the feeling when Martin Luther King Jr., even his name is beautiful symbolism. Something happens to us when we think we're going up and then it goes down and we go, oh, Lord, it's over. That's what he's speaking into. That feeling that we keep counting the momentum and we're looking forward to the momentum and then it goes away. And we say, where are you, God? That's how the disciples felt when Jesus went to the cross. They're like, we are going to Jerusalem. Oh, my goodness, get on that donkey. You see all these people putting palms down and praising you. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. 5 minutes later, crucify him. Crucify him. The Christian life is very much a life where we can be discouraged. Don't be afraid like they're afraid. Don't count your courage like they count your courage. Look at our numbers. Yes, we can do this. Stop that. It's not about the numbers. It's not about the outside signs. Oh, am I beating a dead horse? One more scripture, John 14. I'm not going to preach this whole one. This is the gospel today. And I wanted to read it after reading 1 Peter because I just thought, oh, Jesus. Your words really are life. I'll wait for a moment for you guys to get the, I mean, you could read John 13, 14, 15. It all flow in. But today, as the lectionary had it, I just thought, oh, Jesus. I mean, some of it he's saying, verse 1, I'm not going to read all of it, but he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. I preached that a few weeks ago. I said, as if we think we had a choice in that. What if I could not be troubled, Jesus, don't you think I'd do that? But I am troubled. And you know, he says to the troubled hearts, don't let your heart be troubled. Like trust me with your trouble. Trust me. So then, oh man, I want to preach that again. Chapter 14. And he's speaking for sure to his disciples. He's speaking for sure to those who are following him and those who are confused about the road of what it looks like following Jesus. So I feel like when someone tells me my faith is in crisis, I'm always like, well, join the club. I don't believe in certainty. I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. And I've got questions all the time. But I've come to the realization that he's the only one I can keep trusting all the time. And he says to these kinds of disciples that are wanting to follow him, but the more he talks, it's almost like the more they get confused because the momentum of life is going in a different way for them. He's going to the cross, Dan. And he keeps talking about it. And he's not letting go of this being wounded for access idea. Can you just get over it, Jesus? I want to follow Captain America. I don't want to follow Jesus of Nazareth. I want an undefeatable God. And I think sometimes on Easter, we're so excited that we forget he died. He died. This is what he says. This Jesus to these disciples. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. That word advocate, it's the same word for helper. It's the same word for comforter. I'm going to give you comfort. I'm going to give you help. I'm going to give someone to speak on your behalf when you don't even have a voice anymore. He says, this is the Spirit of truth. This is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth is not those that stand back with the odds and say, you have no hope. The Spirit of truth is the Lord's Holy Spirit, whom the world can't receive because it doesn't see him and it doesn't know him. And Jesus then says to them, you know him because he abides in you and he will be in you. How will I know, Lord, how to hold on? Because I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be there in your being with you. This is that access thing again. Jesus has no right to our hearts, no right to take the step of flowing in and through us if he doesn't have access. He's just a God made out of metal or wood, as we heard today earlier in the Psalms. He's just something that we've made up with our imagination. But Jesus Christ comes as man, and he confirms all the scriptures, and all the invisibleness of God is presented there to us in the physical reality. And everyone that meets them, even the centurion who stuck the spear in his side, said, this is the Son of God. This Jesus has access, and by right then he has authority to tell us that we can have the truth, and not as some objectivity, as a person who can be with the truth, who is Jesus, whom the world doesn't receive, but we can receive him because he wants to abide in us. And he promises to abide in us. So Jesus is saying, if you want this Spirit to abide in you, you've got to abide in me. If you love me, keep my commandments, abide in me. This is what Peter's going after when he says, have sympathy. Be humble in your minds. This is the path of following me. Some of you this week need to speak this to some people. You need to encourage them. You need to fan their flame. That obedience matters. That walking with God by the way that he asks us to walk matters. It's not of no consequence. Some of you are being stirred for yourself, but some of you, You're going, why is he? I know this. You need to tell somebody else about it. You need to invite someone else into this reality that we're more than just what happens to us. In fact, what happens to us actually gives us access to speak into places and into haunts that we would have never set foot in if you'd asked us to. Did anybody here sign up to be divorced or orphaned or without children or without retirement? There's choices that we make, but there's things that just happen to us. There's things that just happen to us. Does anybody choose to be unloved? No, things happen to us. What God can do with that is something entirely different. I didn't plan on talking about her, but as I say that, I'm recalling the testimony of Sojourner Truth. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Sojourner Truth is a famous African-American woman who, she was a slave from almost all of her life. She had, I think, 13 or 14 children. Does anybody correct me on that? And I was listening to Dr. Cornel West. It was a conversation with him and Candace Owens. They're very much on different ends of the political spectrum, but they have the same heart of how they want to see transformation come for people. And it was a fascinating conversation. And Cornel West, he said, you know, there's something about the faith that Sojourner Truth had, being a woman who is basically sexually abused, used as a baby farm. Something happened in her that was deeper than what happened to her, and it was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ produced a woman that was way more than the wounds that she'd faced. Her name was Sojourner Truth. It was a testimony over her life. And that kind of testimony is the witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives and what happens when we let go of the consequences defining us. So today, if yes, we've all walked and we've slipped, or we didn't know where to put our feet, but the Lord's given us this great invitation today, not just an assurance, it's an invitation. It really is to come and drink. It's come and be with me. Be with me. Have your ears open to hear the hurts around you. And if that sound is too much, if that listening post is overwhelming, I'm your advocate. I'm your comforter. Don't try to get it by turning off. Trust me. Trust me. Can I just pray for you? I feel like some of you are in that place. You're like in deep, you've been in deep intercession. And it's less that you're afraid of the world around you. It's that you're shaking for the nations because you see the death and the despair and it breaks your heart. So I just speak, and if that's you, or just pray with me in the room. I feel like we just, as Moses held up his hands for Joshua who is fighting, some of you are so weary in trying to be hopeful right now that you need the Holy Spirit to come in and lift up your arms. You need Joshua to not just be held up by you alone. You need to know that the Lord is holding you up. Father, I just pray right now for those who feel in the depth of their being, the shaking of the world around them, the access that you've given them through woundedness, it seems overwhelming, God, and it is because we don't have solutions, but we trust in you, God, and your advocate, Holy Spirit, is available to us. So we say, come, Holy Spirit, give us strength where we're weary, God. Holy Spirit, come, give me vision where I've gone blind. Holy Spirit, come, give me a voice where I've gone silent. Holy Spirit, come and free my mind from the fear that the world has of not having enough, not being enough, and bring me into the spaciousness that Jesus Christ himself felt as he sat with you, Father, at your right hand. You promised this to us, God. And I speak this prayer over all of us and for the Lord. God, you are the Lord. We praise you. We publicly acclaim you. You are the eternal Father, All creation worships you. All creation we declare was made by you for your glory. And if it's not volitional praise, it's the groaning sort of praise as they don't know where to turn. We say you, Father, are the one that all creation was destined to worship. And to you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim, seraphim, they all sing an endless praise for you. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth, they're full of your glory, God. Lift up my eyes to the mountains to see where my help comes from. Guide me today in abiding with you. Free me from anxiety. Free me from the fear of missing out. Direct my attention, God, to stay focused in my commitments, to surrender to you my concerns, to run forward with you with what you've given me to do, Lord. Come, help your people, bought with the price of your own blood. Bring us with all your saints into your glory, Lord. Not just for ourselves, but for the nations, God. Do it today, Lord. Can someone just shout with me? Lord, we just give you praise, Father. This is your idea, God. This is your creation. These are your people. The nations belong to you. We're crying out, God. We don't have the answers, but we know his name. It's Jesus. We call out for you. Jesus. Lord, our wounds seem unbearable. And the thought of another one, we all want to run. But you hold us together. You're the balm of Gilead. You're the healing of the nations. You're the river of life. We don't want to belong to any political party. We want to belong to you. We want to see your way. Your way become the world's way, God. Revive us. Revive us, God, where we've lost hope. And for some of you today, I just know it. You're supposed to bring this kind of hope. You're supposed to bring hope to some people this week. Oh. Like Desmond Decker, right? That's how you say Decker from, what's the name of the movie, Ezra? Desmond Dawes. What's the name of the movie? Hacksaw Ridge. The famous Christian medic. Who wouldn't pick up a rifle as he went into war. He just kept bringing the wounded back. Jesus, today, show us how to walk. Give us words for how to speak. Teach us how to pray. May we not be stuck in our own religion. Re-energize us, Lord. And if we've lost sympathy or empathy, break our hearts because we can't stay in that place. Some of your hearts are so broken. I just want you to know the Lord, he hears you. He's with you. He's pressed into you in your wounds, in your loneliness. He's pressed and he knows what it's like to be lonely. I was feeling sorry for myself a few years ago. I was on the couch by myself in the middle of the night. I was mad at Carissa. Doesn't happen very often like this. Can't think of any other time, to be honest. And I started telling the Lord all the reasons I needed his sympathy. And I really felt like, and I share this with you because I felt like it was an encouraging word. It was a tree of life for me. He said, join the party. He said, pull up a seat. I've been here a long time. I've been wounded. I've been alone. And I chose it for you. Some of you are just that person for others. Where you're positioned actually to shepherd some people around you. into something bigger than just getting out of the crisis, but how to respond faithfully to God.